What is up, our friends from the internet? It's once again time for the Tech Yeah Games podcast. I'm your host, Tony, here with my co-host, Leo. I was going to say wheelchair co-host, Leo, because of what we were talking about. And that didn't seem right. Yeah, it didn't seem right. Here with Wheels Leo Peril.
Yeah, I don't love that one. It's just not accurate.
It's not. You don't have wheels at all. Not even Heelys.
No, not anymore. It's been quite a few years since I had those. Actually, don't know if I ever did.
I wish I had Heelys. Like they weren't available when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But I wish they were.
I remember they had like shoes with like little bars built in so you could like grind on, you know,
random shit. They're called soaps.
Yeah, that's so funny, man. That's such a product of its time. I wonder if they still make those, but I remember some friends of mine who were into skateboarding would get them, and it was like, seemed cool at the time, and in retrospect, it doesn't really. It's strange how that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, we have one of those like discount shoe warehouse stores next to my house, yeah. And we go there
DCW?
Sometimes. No, it's like Broadway, Broadway shoe something. I don't know what the fuck it's called. But yeah. And they say they're cheaper, but they're really not. But they always have Heelys there. And I'm just like, who the fuck buys these? But they don't have like giant foot adult size.
But they don't have them in your size, or I bet you would buy them.
No, I wear like a 12 or a 13, depending on the shoe.
And, yeah. It'd be great for getting around Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like what I always thought was cool is people would wear them like at like the stadium. You know, they have like the big open areas, like ramps and stuff, and they'd heely down. I'm like, oh, that's so fucking cool, man.
So there's nothing cooler.
There's like literally nothing cooler than heely, like, you know, heeling with your drink. And you're just like gliding across. Oh, fucking hey, man. I can dream. I can dream about being
someday.
That cool. Someday. Yeah. With that being said, Leo, how's your week?
That's good. Been working a lot, but I did get a chance to play some games, which is nice. I know last week I was sort of, you know, just playing some of the old classics. I did that a little bit this week too. I did platinum Resident Evil 3 finally, so that's off my list, which is great. It was fun. I already talked enough about it, but it, you know, it's my second platinum on my PlayStation, so that's fun. I also did finally beat Final Fantasy Tactics. I actually beat it the day after we spoke last week. And yeah. Again, not a whole lot new to say. It's a strangely balanced game. Like I said last week, it's a lot of ups and downs. It's very bizarre, but overall quite enjoyable. And I've been having fun messing around with it in an emulator. Now that I've beaten it legitimately, I'm having fun kind of cheating and really messing with the systems in a much more sort of playful way without any constraints or guilt about, you know, save states or speeding up or anything like that. So that's been fun. It's like playing around with a chemistry set or something, you know?
So what's your score for Final Fantasy Tactics? How many Lala fell out of Eorzea's
is it? How many lions?
Yeah, how many Lalas is it?
Out of how many?
I mean, I was giving you just an arbitrary, like,
out of 9. No, there's a lot of things I didn't like about it, to be honest. Like, people talk about it, it's one of the greatest games ever, and I think it's a really cool game, but it's definitely, the poor balance and the weird writing, don't like all the sexism, and like the, it's so broken. And it's punishing in some pretty annoying ways. So I really liked it a lot. But I like it more as like a toy than a game, which is sort of unusual.
Yeah, me too. So as a toy and then the sexism were the things I was really into. So we're mostly
what really drew you to it.
We're mostly in the same spot there. So
yeah, well, sort of.
I mean, for the most part, it's just one little, you know, piece we're not eye to eye on.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The other game that I did play, though, a lot of was Persona, the first Persona. Yeah, for some reason I don't know why. Oh, because I saw it's like the 25th anniversary of that game in a few days here, which is crazy.
So I beat that game when it came out. I'm gonna tell you right now before you start.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because
I've ever played it. So
yeah, I seem to remember you saying that. So that actually, I was glad to hear. I was glad I remember that because I'd be curious. I know it's been a long time, but I'd be curious to kind of hear your thoughts because. It's very interesting playing it. Obviously, it's quite old. It came out in 96, and it was pretty dated even by those standards of the time. But what's really interesting about it is the DNA that is absolutely there from the beginning. And that is, the music fucking kicks ass. I should say I'm playing the PSP port, so I don't know if it's been remastered, the music or whatever. It came out, I think, 13 years later, 2009. So, you know, it's still an old an old version of it, but I can't speak to the quality of the music on the original PlayStation release. But the music in this port is so good. Like, the dungeon music kicks ass. All the music is really good. The battle music's fucking awesome in a way I wasn't expecting. Like, I know this series is known for having great music, and we've talked a lot about that. But I expected the first entry to be much more tame and sort of more classic, you know, almost SNES style, but it's not. It's like super good and compelling and does not feel old at all, to me at least. And then, yeah, the Persona stuff is still fun. The writing is definitely pretty poor and, you know, badly translated. The characters are very much archetypes, even much more so than later on. And the random battles are really intolerable in a way that, it's horrible, man. Like, that mechanic is just so aged, and in the more JRPGs I play, the more I'm like, I can't stand this anymore. Like, the only way to play these games is with an emulator where you can skip all that shit. So, and I don't know if you remember, but it's like weird isometric, and then you can talk to people and kind of run around a little bit, very simple. And then the actual dungeons are first person, which I guess is, you know, Shin Megami Tensei style. And you're basically in these labyrinthian first-person corridors, and there's just random battles constantly. And you're just, every step you take, you're just praying you don't get in a random battle, you know? It's that old style of like, oh God, please just let me get through this.
Yeah.
What do you remember about it, though?
I can remember, so I remember there being first-person dungeons, and yeah, it's sucking. Like, I kind of remember hating everything about that game, but beating it. So I was compelled. Like, I remember,
it was back in the day. That's how we were.
And I just remember, like, so, in that era, and I think a lot of people in that era, I was just, like, into JRPGs, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, a lot of...
perfect time.
A lot of other JRPGs of that era I also played through that were bad, right? Like, yeah. Wild Arms, or, you know, of course, the Final Fantasy games of the era. God, what was the one... the original Xenoblade, I think, was that era.
Xenogears,
yeah.
Xenogears is a interesting game, but it's not very easy to play now. I wouldn't say it sucks, but
that game sucks.
Well, all right, fair enough. It's an interesting game, but yeah, I don't know if it's quite as simple as it just sucks, but it's certainly deeply flawed. Anyway,
okay, I'm fine. I understand. People think it's good. Like, I get the.
Yeah, I don't.
I remember playing that game for such a long time, like thinking it was like a mecha game and playing it for such a long time and not getting a mecha until the very end of the game. Right. Like, yeah, like the Xenogear system actually is so far into the game. I got that. That's all I remember about Xenogears. But to go back to Persona, right? Like, I must have enjoyed it. Like, I must have found it compelling enough to play through. I remember gambling a lot in that game. Like, I think there's a casino.
There is.
I remember that was a big part of like how I spent my time. I remember, like, as a kid, I like, you know, you figure out your own little like glitches in those games, yeah, right? And I just figured out some way to keep making lots of money, and I would just like do that nonstop. And I don't remember what it was, but it was like, you know, you find, but yeah, it was before there were YouTube videos. You found your own like,
yep,
little glitchy moments or like exploits, right? And so I remember that, but. Yeah, I remember it being kind of janky. Like, was, and not like janky, yeah, like it didn't work, but janky, like, this doesn't look just that good.
No, it looked, even like I said, it looked dated even then. I mean, it was a very early PlayStation game, but it wasn't like a launch game. It was a year or two later, but yeah, definitely dated even then.
But I do remember liking the vibe, right? Like, yeah, I think that's totally what kind of pulled me through and kind of made me a fan, is I liked that it was, you know, I always say I don't like horror things, right? And I think, yeah, Persona was that perfect balance for me of like creepy, mystical kind of stuff, but not like, you know, there's not going to be any jump scares. There's not going to be, yeah, any, you know, like it, you can kind of exist in that space without that like, yeah, anxiety, right? And I really like that.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little bit edgy, like, for the time, and a little bit more like, yeah, there's like demons and shit. But the core of it that I still find that carries through and is obviously dramatically improved, as it should be with sequels, is kind of the goofiness is still there. Like, you can still talk to the persona and try and convince them to join you, and those conversations are very weird and very funny. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the music, It is pretty stylish as far as menus. It's nothing even remotely compared to, you know, Persona 4 or 5, obviously. But compared to other JRPGs of the time, which were super clinical and, you know, maybe they'd use a different font. There was a weird Final Fantasy hand. But outside of that, they were purely functional. And this, you know, it does have some flair. You can tell they were, it is more stylish in that sense. And even then, you know, it's a bunch of teenagers dealing with world-ending calamities and in Tokyo. So, like, that, the core of it is still there. It's just, as you'd expect, extremely unrefined in a lot of ways. I am compelled to continue with it. It's just those random battles are so brutal that I just wish there was a way to turn those off. If I could turn those off and just run through and enjoy the story and see the weird conversations, and I am kind of curious about the plot because it's so kind of off the wall. There's like this government organization that opened a hell dimension and it took over the town. And you're kind of just running around the town trying to rescue your friends. So yeah, I don't know how much more I'll play, but it's certainly been a really interesting insight into the core of these games that I love Persona 5 so much. It's fun purely for an exploratory sense. And I think I'll try and run through the two sequels as well, like the two versions of 2. And then I still do want to play 3, which from what I've heard is much more similar to 4 and 5 than the first two are. So anyway, yeah, it's been fun exploring that for sure.
Yeah, I was like 14 when I played it, so I don't really have a lot of insight as to...
Yeah. No, it's cool that you play, and you played the original version, which was pretty fucked up, too. There was, like, weird blackface in the original that they updated.
Again, that was my favorite part.
Yeah, the sexism and the blackface really drew you in as a 14-year-old, like, fucking Counter-Strike troll.
Yeah, that's the shit I was into when I was 14. I mean, honestly, like, as someone that, like, played Counter-Strike and was on, like, VB boards and stuff, I probably was into the blackface and the sexism, right? Like... Sadly, as a 14-year-old online at that time, that probably was part of the draw. Like, you know, it was a fucked up era to be a denizen of the internet, especially as a teenager. Yeah,
literally an internet troll, living in a little internet cave with all your internet troll friends.
So, like, I wasn't that bad, you know, because like I was pretty social, like in school and stuff. Yeah, like I wasn't the dork I am now, but. But yeah, I did, you know, there was this darkness when you went home and just got on the internet. Were you into JRPGs when you were younger?
So I didn't actually get in, because I didn't really start playing video games until I was a little bit older. So I didn't get into JRPGs until I got my first PlayStation, which was the PlayStation 2. So I think I was already in like early high school or around then. So I didn't play them as a kid. I played Zelda and mostly Zelda, which is sort of some RPG elements. And I did play Pokemon, which is a perfect intro to JRPGs, right? Because it's so simple, but it is menu-based. So once I kind of beat that and got really into Pokemon, that kind of opened the door to other turn-based systems. And of course, I got super into Final Fantasy VII because that was the perfect age for that.
Yeah, so but never that, into like early Final Fantasies or like Dragon Quest or...
Well, I didn't play them. I've gone back since and played a lot of JRPGs. But no, I wasn't like a kid when they were coming out or anything.
Yeah. So PlayStation was a weird era for JRPGs, man. Like
it sure was. And then Parasite Eve. Parasite Eve. Yeah.
You loved Parasite Eve?
I do. I love Codelka, too. They're actually kind of similar in a lot of ways. They're both kind of weird, creepy, out there, like strange takes on what a JRPG can be.
I know you love Codelka.
You want to talk about Codelka? Okay, well, here. No, it was a strange time. It was very experimental. It was like before they had the rules really set up. And then there was, I don't know if you remember this, there were the weird, very shitty ports of SNES games on the PlayStation. There was Final Fantasy Chronicles and Final Fantasy Anthology, I think. And they were absolutely awful, like emulated ports of Final Fantasy 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy 4. And something about the way the technology worked is like the PlayStation was emulating, but it like didn't have enough RAM. So every time you'd go to a menu, it would take like 5 seconds, which doesn't sound like a long time, but you go to menus a lot in JRPGs.
Yeah, it's forever.
And I even played those. I don't know if I beat any of them that way. But so yeah, I was really into JRPGs for a long time. I still kind of am. I just have a much more like weird relationship with them.
They're weird. They're weird games.
Very weird. Yeah. They have a lot of charm, but there's a lot of fucking issues too. And yeah, I don't know. I'm like constantly going back and forth on them, but... Anyway, I also played a couple other tactics games just to try them out. Like, I tried the Tactics Ogre game on the PSP. I tried Jeanne d'Arc, which is a really interesting game, but I don't love it. But it's, you know, it's kind of out there. But yeah, the main one I played was Persona, and then I did some of the old classics. You know, I played a little bit of Final Fantasy and some Resident Evil, like I said, but that's pretty much it. Did you experiment with any new exciting games this week?
No, not really. You know, it's funny you mentioned playing other tactics games, because it's weird how none of them really capture that magic that I felt with Final Fantasy Tactics, you know? And I don't know if it's because Tactics is so much better, or maybe it's the sexism, but nothing is really, like, I just feel like that job system is so uniquely, like, fun to tool with, that, like, I just don't get as engaged with other, like, I've never gotten into XCOM games, I've tried them, you know, like, it's just, I don't know, nothing seems to really have that magic for me.
That job system is extremely powerful. Like, I was thinking about how if that wasn't in there, it would be a fine game.
Yeah.
But it would certainly be nothing. Like, and, you know, Tactics Ogre was the game he made right before Final Fantasy Tactics, so it's very similar, but that job system isn't the same. And that job system is just so much of what's fun about that. It's just thinking about builds and, yeah, just doing weird, broken units is 90% of the joy that at least I got from it.
Yeah, it's so fun. So I didn't play a lot of games this week. I'm going to be honest with you. Right off the bat, I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, I appreciate the honesty.
I played a lot of Apex. I finally hit gold in Arena ranked. All right. I'm going to push to at least platinum in Arena.
Nice. What's higher than that? Diamond?
Yeah. It goes platinum, diamond, and I think, I don't know if there's another rank above diamond before Apex Predator. Apex Predator is like the top rank. I know it's a little much. I played some 14. You know, honestly, mostly this week I just read manga. So if you want to talk about manga, you know, we can do that. But that's kind of, so I hurt my foot this week. I mean, I didn't like hurt it, but I kind of like, I think my Achilles is messed up. I have tendonitis in my Achilles. So a lot of the time I've just been trying to stay off my feet or like lay down, you know, like keep my foot elevated. So it's kind of pulled me away from my normal gaming spaces, right? Like, you know, even my living room, my couch, it's hard to like lay in a way that I'm watching TV and I have my foot up. So a lot of this week has been laying in bed with my foot elevated, just like reading or watching television. So, yeah, if you need some hot manga recommendations for the week, read Kaiju number 8. It's so good.
Kaiju number 8. Okay.
Kaiju number 8. It's about a man that eats a kaiju and becomes the part kaiju. Right.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Dandadan is also, like, honestly so good. It's amazing. I think you would really like Dandadan. All right. It's kind of like a horror comedy manga. And it's about basically a high school boy that believes in aliens and a high school girl that believes in ghosts, right? And they kind of get in an argument, and he's like, if you don't think ghosts are real, or he's like, if you don't think aliens are real, go to this place where aliens abduct people, and you know, like a test of bravery, right? And the girl's like, well, then fine, you go to this place where there's ghosts, right? And none of them thinks anything's happened, and they go, and of course he gets possessed by a ghost and she gets abducted by aliens, right? And it really turns into this like who's who of like ghosts and monsters fighting, you know? And I think it's really funny. It's like really done in a funny, tongue-in-cheek, like absurd way that I think is great. So
yeah, that does sound cool. I love that premise.
Yeah, those are my my weekly. There's another manga I read that's super weird, but I'm not even gonna bring it up because it's too weird. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, well, luckily you don't have to.
Yeah, it's so weird. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I played 14 this week, you know, did some Golden Saucer. I played some of that Naraka Blade Point again, the one I talked about last week, the Melee Battle Royale that I was kind of lukewarm on. Still kind of lukewarm on it, you know. It's funny because it's got those hooks that I'm just like, I should log in and, you know, play a little bit and level up and get some games in. And it does have a high skill ceiling, right? And so it is fun to like be better at it.
Yeah.
But there are still things that I'm just like, why is this fucking game like you know,
like simple things like we were talking about.
Well, and you know, I've kind of noticed my biggest thing is it doesn't inform you of anything, you know, like in a way that is, I couldn't imagine playing that game if you weren't like a Redditor or like YouTubing it, because it would just feel like nothing ever fucking worked, you know?
Yeah.
because you're like swinging your sword and it just, you're clashing and you get disarmed and you're like, how did this fucking happen? Like, I don't even understand what this system is or how, like, there's no message on the screen. There's nothing telling you like why it happened. It's just sort of like, I don't have a fucking weapon anymore. Like, what happened? And it's like, well, if you go on the subreddit, people will make fun of you for getting parried and losing your weapon. You know, like,
It's like how games used to be. Where it's like, well, you got to read the manual, but there is no manual.
Yeah, but
the manual is crowdsourced.
So, and I'm sure there maybe there's a tutorial system in there that has some of this information, but it's like there's no feedback in the game, right? Like you would expect some kind of feedback for like good and bad things, you know. And maybe that's because we're so accustomed to, you know, hit markers and damage markers, like, and this just doesn't feel like there's any of that. So it's very like wild. Right.
I could see how that would be sort of, discouraging.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm still playing. I'm an idiot. I'm still jumping in. So
there must be something that.
Yeah, it worked. Like they fucking got me. But but yeah, honestly, I haven't been finding a lot of like current games I've been that excited to play. Which you know, normally I feel like I can jump on the Steam chart and just like pick something out and be like, oh, you know, like The Ascent a couple weeks ago, which I also didn't like, but. That's fine. You know, like normally there's something at least that catches my eye in the Steam charts. And I feel like it's been really hard this past couple weeks to find something that's just like oh, like I want to give this a try or check it out or, you know.
So you got to be more like me and start looking to the past.
I thought about it. I thought about playing some
deep past.
I thought about playing some old weird games to see like what they are. Right?
It's so fun.
Like I just realized that there's a Friends game.
Oh.
Well, yeah. I mean... But, like, what the fuck is it? Right?
I don't know.
There's Friends for the PlayStation 2. And I'm just like...
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a... I mean, I'm sure it's, like, a dumb, like... I don't... Who knows what it could be. But I'm sure it's not even a video game, right?
Yeah, it's, like, it's probably, like, clip-based or, yeah, like...
Something stupid, right? Guess the Phoebe quote or something. Yeah.
I don't shitty trivia with, like, weird, grainy FMV.
Something like that, right? Like, But just seeing that it exists was like, I want to boot that game up, you know, like I gotta find out what's in there. But, so maybe I will start playing some older games. I mean, it's
PS2 it's emulation has come a long way.
Yeah. I've heard it's come a long way. I've heard Switch emulation has actually come a long way, which surprises me, but
that Steam Deck's going to be. A real powerful Switch machine.
It's going to be the best Switch, is the Steam Deck, right? Because the controllers don't fucking blow.
Well, we don't know. They might.
They might. I mean, they can't be worse than Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were... Because Joy-Cons feel like no one ever used them before they designed... Like, before they sold them, right? They were just like... They made them, and then they sold it. They're like, oh, these suck? Like,
We should have tried them.
Did anyone try these? Like... And they're like, no.
And we thought you did. I thought you did.
Yeah. Who was on QA for this? And it's like, I don't know. That's your department. It's like, it's not my department.
might have fallen through the cracks a little bit there.
Yeah. I fucking hate Joy-Cons. But that's most of what I played. Let's take a quick break because I want to get into some of these Gamescom announcements.
Yeah.
Leo, do you have a good break?
Yeah. I don't know if I told you, but I finally got a GPU, a new one. So I've just been staring at this box. It's fucking huge. So large. And I took out the actual GPU and it's so big. I don't know. I don't even think it's going to fit in my case. So it's kind of funny. This is how the upgrade cycle starts, you know? It's like, I got to get a new case and I should probably get a new PSU, right? And well, my motherboard's getting kind of old, so.
You didn't try to install it yet?
Nah, I figured I don't want to mess with it till I go on this work trip because otherwise I'll be very distracted.
Yeah, I couldn't wait like 5 seconds. If that thing showed up, I would like meet the UPS guy at the door and like, you know, be like, where's it? Right upstairs. I'm such a
just like pull it out of his hands.
Yeah, I'm such a child. Like with that stuff, it's shameful in some ways.
No, that's great. It's a good feeling. You should be excited about something you got. You know,
I don't know if it's a. I don't know if it's great though. I feel like it's compulsive. You know what I mean? I think a lot of it is compulsion more than like actual. Like joy. Happiness or joy about getting it. It's just like, give me my thing. Give me my fucking thing. I gotta put it in
my pile of things.
I need to add it to my pile of things. So I have more things. Cause that's the moment that feels so good. And then every moment after that, I need to try and get a new thing. You know?
Like, gotta fill the hole.
Gotta fill the hole. But well, that's exciting. You got a Newegg Shuffle?
I did, yeah. And I'll certainly report in, you know, once I actually have it set up and everything. But
yeah, let me know what your processor capture frames
at. Yeah, it's going to be rough.
I mean, at least it's a beast. You know what I mean? Like, the good news is, I do feel like in a lot of ways, especially with the 3000 series, we've hit kind of a wall as far as GPU. Like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, even the 1080 to the 3080, like, it's a vast difference, but not like a 680 versus a 980. You know what I mean? Not like kind of leaps we had in previous gens. And so really you're getting better frames, but you're also getting access to like newer technology, like DLSS.
That's the part I'm excited about for sure.
And real-time ray tracing. And so, you know, like, I think that's exciting. Like, that's exciting stuff. Like, that's,
it is.
Yeah, it's so cool.
That's the part I'm really excited about. Yeah, for sure. Like, I only do 2K. I think this card, it's a 38 Ti, so I think it can do 4K, but I just, higher resolution, it ceases to be important to me as much as higher frame rates and higher refresh rates. So I'm super excited about that side of it. Like, ooh, finally I can actually hit 144 hertz on, like, you know, brand new games. That's the part I'm pretty stoked about. And then it'll be fun to see a little bit of ray tracing. It's not like make or break by any means. That's not why I got it. But, you know, I'm curious to see Control with all its bells and whistles. So, yeah, I'll definitely report back in once all that's set up eventually.
Yeah, Control with all its bells and whistles and, like, good frame rate. And you could capture the video if you wanted to, and it's not a big deal. You know, like, I think that's really cool. I only have a 1080, so like, non-TI.
That was the case.
Yeah, so...
now I'm a true gamer, like you.
Yeah, you're true. Well, of course you are. You have a PS5, like all true gamers.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's the real gamer. That's the real gamer hardware. It's a PlayStation 5. All right. All right, let's... So there wasn't a ton of news this week, or, like, not a lot of news I wanted to talk about. Is there anything you wanted to get into before we talk about Gamescom?
No, I think that's sort of the biggest thing. You know, there's always something going on. There's the Overwatch, them finally changing McCree's name is kind of funny, and that's something we had sort of predicted happening, and just not a lot to say about it other than that they did it, and I'm not surprised. And I don't think they really had a choice.
I mean, I think they did, but
I think it was probably the smart thing to do. They're losing less by doing it, I think. Like, nobody cares except people want his name to change. It's not like Overwatch is League of Legends, you know?
Yeah, I think the thing is, it's the easiest thing they can do while doing nothing.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And so
there's no reason not to.
I guess in that sense, it's like, if you're not going to do anything, then I guess do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think if you were making valid efforts to, like, to change things or whatever, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm going to admit guilt, but I'm not going to, like, admit guilt. You know,
it's like settling.
Yeah. It's like, we fired McCree and we're going to change the name. We're good now, right? And it's like, no, man. Like, no, you know?
Not at all.
Where it's like, if we were like, no, we're going to make real changes and we don't really give a shit about McCree's name because it doesn't actually affect the things that we need to change.
That is not the issue.
Yeah, I'd be like, that's a lot more impactful, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it was obvious it was going to happen just by the language and the way they're handling this, and it's like, let's just make everyone disappear that, you know.
Yep.
Like,
let's just hope it blows over.
Let's just put makeup over this black guy so no one knows about the abuse.
Exactly.
Yeah, then, like, we'll that's just,
exactly right.
Let's just remove the eye. Like, you know. So
remove the eye. get out the melon baller and take it out.
Just get it out of here. Okay. Let's get into this. Gamescom.
Yeah.
I guess I don't want to go, like, through this list because, for one, there's a ton of stuff on it. I have not been paying that close attention anyway.
Yeah, same.
I watched some stuff this morning. I saw some stuff pop up on Twitter during the week. There's a kind of a lot of, like, stuff here.
Of course. There always is. But we could talk about the ones that kind of stand out.
Yeah. And so I guess... Oh, sorry. I made my mic. My question to you is... what are some things that kind of popped that you saw that were exciting to you? And then I'll list a couple that I thought were pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, like you, I've been pretty pretty busy at work, so I actually didn't pay very close attention to this. I wanted to, but I just couldn't. Didn't have the brain power to do it. The main thing that did stand out, though, is I watched the Elden Ring trailer and the gameplay trailer, and it was really cool. I mean, it was a classic example of like, yeah, that looks exactly how I imagined. It's like, imagine open world Dark Souls. And that's what it is. Like, if you told me it was a Dark Souls game, I would absolutely believe you, which is not a bad thing. I mean, people love it. Miyazaki has a style, and I don't know. It was in no way surprising, but it was also in no way disappointing. So that's pretty cool. That was the thing I think that really stood out the most.
Yeah, gaming really has some layups, and so it's like, just take them. You know,
what I mean? Sometimes, like, it's fine.
Yeah, like, it's fine to, like, take the layup. And, you know, I think From is doing interesting things in their space, like, outside of Souls. So it's like, make cool stuff, but also, like, just take the money and make a cool Souls game so people can play it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
no one's going to be mad.
No, like, take some of these modern things, like, open worlds and, you know, like, get the George R.R. Martin name in there, get some hype, and just make a cool Souls game. And I think people will love it, you know? So
I wonder if George R.R. Martin watched the trailer and was like, this is not what I wrote. Because it definitely sounds very much like Miyazaki and not George R.R. Martin when it's doing that typical, like, Japanese trailer thing where it's like, incomprehensible language put together over with a very deep voice over imagery. And it's just like, why do they do that? I don't understand. It's so strange.
Maybe George R. R. Martin wrote in, you know, Miyazaki's tone. He's just that good, you know.
Yeah, maybe that'd be kind of cool. It'd be an interesting writing challenge.
Yeah, or he's just used to it by now, right? Like,
yeah, he's been talking to him for so long.
Well, and, you know, the TV show also took his ideas and bastardized them. So he's just like, whatever. Just make whatever you fucking want.
At this point,
want.
I don't fucking care. Like,
just make whatever you fuck. I got paid. I wrote my thing. Just make whatever you fucking want. Who cares? But. Yeah, that's exciting. Anything else that popped out for you?
No, I mean, there's a couple things you sent me, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on those first.
Yeah, so the first thing, so something I saw pop up and I thought was really kind of neat. First was Mona and Super Monkey Ball.
Speaking of Persona.
Speaking of Persona, the music plays, Mona's in the ball, rolling around, it's wild. I've never been a huge Super Monkey Ball fan. Like, I think it's a neat game, you know, like, no shade on Super Monkey Ball. I get why people are. I mean, I think everyone likes Super Monkey Ball. I just don't know. I don't know why people claim they love Super Monkey Ball. You know, it just doesn't seem like a game you love. But
did you know that Kiryu from Yakuza was in one of them?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Look it up. I think I heard it on another podcast, so I'm not trying to take credit for that. But you should look it up. It's pretty funny. He's just like a cute little chibi Kiryu rolling around in a ball.
That is pretty
cute. So maybe that'll get you to love Super Monkey Ball.
I'm starting to love it already. Like, Mona had me in, like...
Something about it.
Mona had me in heavy like, but I really love anything Kiryu's in, because he's a fucking dreamboat, man.
He's a pretty cool guy.
He's a really fucking cool guy.
He just wouldn't wear those goddamn shoes, but...
I love those shoes.
I know.
I love those fucking shoes,
that's
right?
90% of why I like him.
Yeah. You gotta have those fucking gator fucking loafers on, you know? So I thought that was interesting. The one that I sent to you and that jumped out to me was this Doki V game. It's made by Pearl Abyss. They're the makers of Black Desert. I don't know how Pearl Abyss somehow makes all their games the best looking games. Like,
it's
incredible. So this game is sort of like a Pokemon meets, I don't know, open world. I don't even know how to describe it based off the trailer we saw. It looks like it's for kids. So, you know, it's for kids, right?
like you're controlling little weird, like almost chibi style, like basically children.
They look like 10-year-olds or something, right?
Yeah, we were joking that they look like Lalafells from Final Fantasy 14. I think they really do. They have that kind of distorted, bizarre body shape. But yeah, they're essentially little kids. So imagine the...
Where they're all kind of fat, like not fat, but like...
Yeah, like weirdly more, pear-shaped.
Yeah, more body than limbs, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, they're like... I don't know. It just looks amazing. And like you're traversing this world with like, you know, skateboards and rollerblades and jet skis and gliders and just fighting these big monsters and collecting monsters, it looks like. And you got all
It looks like there's a lot of social aspects.
Yeah, a lot of social stuff. That just is like these beautiful graphic effects. This like city looks cool. Like you're changing into a K-pop kid and like doing dances and shooting hearts out and driving little cars. And like, I don't know. It just looks like if I was like 12 or something, and I would lose my fucking mind seeing this shit, right? Like, that's what I think is so neat. Like, I think that this is stuff like I want to be like, tell my nephew to play, right? Like look at this. Like, this is amazing. You know, like be in this world.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely has like, I think it's a smart play too, right? It's like trying to sort of marry the, you know, this is not a space I'm very familiar with, but sort of marry the social aspects of something like Roblox or Fortnite with a much more visually compelling. And like, again, it's just a trailer, so we don't know how it plays, but it looks like it's like instance based, maybe the fights, because you can see like weird barriers around the arenas when they're fighting monsters. So maybe it's like open world with instance battles and a lot of social elements, which, you know, none of that's particularly new, but I think it's worth checking out the trailer, even if this doesn't sound good at all to you. As a game, because it is pretty fascinating and it looks really unique, and like it could be huge, I think, just because it looks like it could capture the same things those very popular games do, only look way, way better, which could be pretty powerful, I think.
And I think a lot of younger kids, well, I know younger kids play so much games, right? Like, and like younger than Fortnite age, right? I think we're kind of stuck in this mode right now, and I think that there is like an audience that are like kind of too young to be playing Fortnite, but kind of it's what there is, right? It's like you're either playing Minecraft or Fortnite or Roblox, which in a lot of ways is worse than Fortnite as far as violence, right?
Way worse.
You know, like my nephew likes to load, like he's 7 or 8 now, right? And he likes to load up Fortnite and run around in creative mode, right? And it's like, that's fine, you know, like, but does he really need a gun game? You know what I mean? Like,
that's why Minecraft, I think, is such a popular solution to that, you know?
I think so too, but I think Minecraft's very limited, right? And I think that that's what this is trying to bridge the gap in. Like, let's get like a real fully fledged game that is, that kind of is like a real game, right? That like adults can play online and you can group up and do all these things and fight bosses. But have it and looks great and, but can appeal to those younger audience without telling them like, here's a gun, go fucking murder, you know? I think it's smart, right? I do agree. I think because of that concept, it could be very kind of like Maple Story was huge. I kind of think of it a lot. Like I think of like Maple Story, right?
It's kind of like a super modern, fully 3D in a city Maple Story kind of. Yeah. That's a good, it kind of has a similar tone.
Yeah.
Although I did notice there's no Martin Luther King in this game. So I don't know.
I don't, that would seem like a real miss to me. Right. If you're going to have a game for kids, you should definitely have
Martin Luther King. A game filled with guns and violence. Yeah.
Yeah. That was weird. So if you guys, Fortnite is putting Martin Luther King in the game, as like a playable character.
Not exactly, yeah.
But there's like a museum. Like a skin. It was like a Martin Luther King like museum, creative museum.
Yeah, it's like they partnered with like Time Magazine to do, which is like, I don't know, it's weird. And apparently they had to like disable disrespectful emotes, which I'm only laughing because like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Like, yeah, you should have no emotes, right? Like, you know, in a world where our education system doesn't work, and you know, like in a lot of ways I can see like thinking like, let's find ways to provide educational content to masses of people in the spaces they are, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I don't think that's wrong, right? Like but just the optics of announcing it and the way you roll it out, you know what I mean? Like those kinds of things I think are strange, right?
I think it's just because it's Fortnite, because it's a game about shooting people. So it just immediately feels weird to have a guy who was shot to death.
Yeah.
And then also Fortnite's whole thing is like how weird and goofy, and there's like hot dog people and banana men and like fish heads and like, oh, that's fine. But then to suddenly be like, oh, but now we're being very somber and serious seems just, like you said, I understand what they're going for, and I don't think it's necessarily like morally wrong or anything. It just feels pretty misguided to use Fortnite as the, and I don't know what you'd use instead. Maybe that's the point. It just feels like a real, just feels very techie. There's no way around that, you know?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things you could, like, if you wanted to use Fortnite as a tool for, you know, positive education and
which is a laudable goal, I think, and
informing people, I think that's a good idea. I think you should do it in stages and don't start with like a real world person.
There you go. Maybe that's the thing. Right. Like, kind of ramp up and like build that out instead. Like maybe do kind of like what Assassin's Creed did, where they have like historical versions of places that you can explore at your leisure. Maybe like they could build out like a, I don't know, they could do something cool with that. Like,
yeah, like, I would start with like an anti-bullying campaign in Fortnite.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Like hey, like this is what kids are going through, and here's like a creative mode where, you know, we show you a little message about it and kind of, you know, give you resources,
come up with solutions.
Yeah, resources if you want to talk about it. Like, yeah, you know, moderated resources, of course, if you want to talk about it. And then you can get like more and more serious as you go. Like mental health and youth and school gun violence, and you know what I mean, and you can like work
that
your way
would be hard.
Well, but that's what I mean. If it's the fifth one you do, it makes more sense, right? I totally agree with you. Oh, okay. And then when you're into that mode and you're doing those things, then it's like, let's talk about issues of race. Let's talk about issues of sexuality and
I
think
just dial it up.
You can earn that. Like you can earn that that voice. Instead, they just were like,
yeah,
Martin Luther King, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think you nailed my kind of misconceptions or misgivings about it. Is that I'm like I understand what they're trying to do and it's laudable, but yeah, going straight from zero to here's Martin Luther King seems woefully misguided.
Yeah,
so a lot of steps in between.
It seems like a weird thing to follow up your Ariana Grande concert.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the other thing, is it's like, oh, well, it's Star Wars, then Ariana Grande, then John Wick, then Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And then, like, who's
Thanos
next?
Is next. Or,
yeah. And then Harry Potter. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. All right. That wasn't a Gamescom, damn you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was totally my fault.
You derailed our Gamescom conversation. I don't care, because there's not a lot more I care about at Gamescom. I think the biggest thing is Halo announced their release date, December 8th, 2021.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's we talked about last week, like the way Game Pass is kind of changing like the value proposition of games, and I think this is another indication, right? Because in the previous model, no one would ever dream of releasing a game after Black Friday, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? They would just be like, "What? Who would release a game in December?" Like, it's the dumbest idea ever. Like, you know, like, Mom already bought Christmas presents. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think she's going to do? Who's going to go to the store in December and buy it? But, you know, I mean, Game Pass kind of changes that model, and it doesn't matter. They don't have to buy the game. I mean, I think it's an interesting year, like holiday, to see how it affects. I mean, we'll never know because Microsoft won't tell us. But, like, how it affects, like, Halo and its launch and like just how that looks, you know what I mean? Like they're not going to get that same pop from it. You know what I mean? Cause like people aren't going to, obviously less people will be buying the boxed version, especially considering it doesn't have multiplayer. It doesn't
or Forge.
Have or co-op, no. Right?
Or co-op. Jesus Christ.
Which is why, I mean, the co-op, did we talk about this last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
I thought so. Not having co-op is why. Like, the more I think about Halo not having co-op, the more crazy it sounds to me, right? Like,
yeah, it's pretty fucking weird, especially because it's like, I'd understand if it was split screen, right? Because that back in the day meant, you know, you had to render twice as much and it was a big hardware tax. But that is not the case now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So weird.
I didn't think it was a big deal until now. Until I sat on it. I was like, man, that's how everyone wants to play Halo. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I played Halo single player, but I played it lots of times co-op. You know, like tons of times co-op. You know, I didn't do all the achievement stuff solo, right? Because it's like, I didn't want to play it that many times. But when I would go to my friend's house, like, this was like at 360, like prime time era, but I had a friend that, well, I had an internet friend from playing Tribes that lived next to where I worked, and we would like twice a week go get beers by his house and then go to his house and just play God of War co-op and Halo co-op, like
God of War. Oh, you mean Gears of War?
Gears of War. I'm sorry. Gears of War.
No, it's okay. I just was like, wait, there was a co-op?
Yeah, Gears of War and Halo co-op. Like, just do the, you know, every twice a week meet up and just do that. Like, until we got through each game and did whatever challenge we were doing, right? And it was so fun. Like, it was such a big part of that game. And I think it's such a part of that Xbox DNA is those co-op modes.
Agreed.
And it's just a strange thing.
I do think it's again a sign of trouble. Like, if they could do the huge Halo 3 style release that they did, you know, if they could do that, I think they would.
But I agree.
There's clearly an issue that, like, A, the game's not done, and B, there's, yeah, it feels like, not that they're sweeping under the rug, and I do understand this does kind of fit into their new attempted business model, but I'm sure. If they could do a big flagship, holy shit, it's Halo, they would have. And they're choosing not to, which does not inspire confidence.
I agree. Like, I think that goes hand in hand with the fact that, like, they kind of devalue the title, and now they can it's kind of done. It's a little late. That. It's coming out. Like, it'll be exciting. Don't worry. Like, everyone's going to play multiplayer. It's fine. You know. It's very like
100 million Spartans.
Yeah, 100. Yeah. I was editing and I listened to that part and I was just like, God, that's so funny. Like, it's so funny. Because I said it and I was very excited about myself.
As usual.
As usual. But I think this campaign's going to be fucked. Like,
It's certainly been a rocky path to release. And again, I'm, you know, maybe it'll be awesome. I hope so, but I suspect it will not be. I'm definitely going to try the multiplayer. I will not be buying the campaign, but
I hope so too. I talked a lot of shit about Psychonauts 2, and I'll be the first to admit people seem to love that game.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I'm fine with being wrong. You know what I mean? Like, we're just talking shit here. I definitely don't know. Like, what's going to be good, what's not. Like, I don't have a crystal ball, right? And so, you know, people like that game. People might like this Halo campaign. I just have a hard time thinking it's going to, like, that these are non-issues. That these things popping up don't spell disaster for Halo.
I think it happens where a very troubled development cycle will lead to an awesome game. Like, it does happen. But I do think it happens more often to the contrary. So,
and it's,
but, yeah,
it's,
I guess we'll find out pretty soon here.
It's a studio that hasn't put out very many good games, right?
Yeah.
And especially not recently. It's a publisher in Microsoft that has also not found a way to put out really any good single player games. I mean, maybe people might argue God of War is good, but why do I keep saying God of War?
That's an easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
God of War is good.
Yeah. God of War is amazing. But, you know, there's some people that will, like, stand by that Gears of War, the new one was good, but...
5, yeah. I'd like to play it someday. I bet it's cool, but that was, like, 2 years ago, A, and B, it wasn't, like, it changed set the world on fire, you know?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't Game of the Year. Like, that's...
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, like, that kills my faith in it. It's, like, is it weird that, like, I see... So, in the Gamescom thing, they had, like, I don't know who it was, Mr. Halo come out and be like, we're so excited you guys tried it. And it's like, why you got this fucking old, like, the people in charge at Microsoft, I mean, other than Phil Spencer, like, you're like, I don't know, this guy doesn't give me a lot of confidence that he knows what's cool. You know what I mean? Like at all, you know? And I think so much of games is about them being cool now, you know? Like, it's such a big factor. And you got to have, like, cool people, like, at the helm, you know?
Or like, at least as the face of it, you know?
Like, Yoshi P is so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of developers are cool people who know what's cool, but they might just not look like it. And they might not inspire confidence. And that's okay. They don't have to be public-facing figures to be good at their jobs, you know?
Yeah, put someone out there that's like, oh, this dude's fucking... This dude gets it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, When I see this dude,
it's Microsoft. Like, Microsoft is not a cool company. And also Halo, like, you know, I like Halo well enough, but it's old as fuck, right? It came out in 2001. like to kids, Halo is ancient.
Yeah, Halo's ancient. The idea is ancient. The people in charge it's not are like ancient, right? Novel.
Like, yeah, exactly. I could see how it would feel very like, oh, this is my dad's shit.
Yeah, and it is like some dad vibes, right? Yeah, like
for sure. Like,
game is all dad vibes.
Yeah.
All right, so other things. A lot of people talk about the Saints Row reboot they had a trailer for. Do you like Saints Row?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I downloaded Saints Row 3 Remastered because Epic gave it away for free. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Epic. Mm-hmm. Love you. Mm-hmm. I downloaded it and played it for like 5 minutes. I was like, whoa, nope. This is not for me at all. Like, I know what it was trying to do at the time, but it is... aged spectacularly poorly. And I don't even just mean the content, which has also aged poorly. It's just shitty.
Like, yeah. In a world with Grand Theft Auto, like, who the fuck plays Saints Row?
Well, Saints Row was funny and, like, was, it did dial everything up over, you know, in a way that was kind of neat.
Yeah, but
when
it's bad.
Funny, I don't mean like, well, I don't know if it's bad necessarily, it's, but it's like
the original, the any Saints Row game I have played yeah. terribly. And I haven't played all of them. I mean, I played early Saints Row.
Grand Theft Auto plays pretty terribly too, to be fair.
And it's amazing it plays worse, right? Like that to be that's the whole point, right? Like it's that whataboutism that we talked about earlier.
No, you're right.
But it's like you know, it's a game that on its Rockstar games don't play well, and it's like, well this one, you know, Grand Theft Auto doesn't play well either. It's like, that's not high praise. You know what I mean? For
yeah,
the
and also
the
Grand Theft Auto does a lot of other things really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think it was like, it was a novelty, you know, and they've kind of skated by on that. But I cannot imagine that the Saints Row reboot that no one was asking for is going to have any sort of meaningful impact on anything. But who knows? Yeah, I am not excited about it, I guess is what I'm saying.
And I seem to remember the original Saints Row being like a novelty because it was like went further than Grand Theft Auto in some ways, as far as like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but like drugs and horniness and like, you know, all that's and violence and like it was like wild, you know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's.
I think that was the second one. The first one was like a straight up clone and a shitty one. Mm. And then they realized, hey, this isn't working. So the second one, they started dialing it up the wackiness. And by the third one, it was completely off the wall in a way that is kind of cool. Like, you know, you're playing as the president and you can make your own character and then aliens attack and shit like that. Like, it's, you know, it's, there's charm to that for sure. It's just that's not enough to be your sole identity in 2021.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a lot of good open world games.
I just don't know if we need another Saints Row game, but
nope, I certainly don't.
Another game, like, people seem to like these games. Like, you know, like, I don't,
yeah, people like people have different tastes than us. I know it's hard to believe.
Leo, I have a question. Is art subjective?
Well, you know, with Saints Row, though, it's like, I don't know who it's for, right? Because, like, Saints Row 3, it seems like it would be for someone like me, right? Like, Saints Row 3 came out, and it was sort of funny, and it was never, I don't think anyone was like, this is fucking best game ever. It was like funny and kind of cool because of what it was doing differently, right? It was novel. But like this remaster, it was like, what? This is such a product of its time. Who is this for? Even for someone who loved it when it came out, it's not a good game by today's standards. It's just not. So who is this remaster for? Like, it was such a product of its time at its height that I don't, like, all those people have grown out of it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and I don't think kids are going to be like, this is so edgy and cool. Like, that ship has sailed. And there's games that are edgy and cool and also good.
Yeah, kids already want Billie Eilish, all right? They don't want Saints Row.
Yeah.
You know? I like Billie Eilish, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, she's great. I like her too.
I don't know if this, you know, I'm trying to think, I agree. Who's the audience? Is it people that, like, played all of Grand Theft Auto and are like, I just need more of this style? Or is it people that are like, I refuse to play Grand Theft Auto, but I really want one of those games, right?
Like, yeah, it's like, so play Sleeping Dogs. No. Play Watch Dogs. No. It's got to be very specific.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but whatever. I mean, even the trailer, I don't know if you watched the trailer.
It's
but
awful.
It's awful. It's so this like, oh, we're so badass, and it's just like.
It was really
It's just really so dumb, right? It's so dumb. So yeah. I hated it.
Well, and that, like, that was Saints Row 3's thing, is it was very, very willfully stupid in a way that was kind of charming. But again, I don't think that would slide now, not just because of the moral aspect of the shit they're saying, but just it's not cool or novel to be like, oh, we're so over the top. Isn't this crazy?
Yeah. I don't know how anyone's excited about that game.
I don't know a single person who is.
I mean, it's weird because I like follow out of gaming Twitter and Reddit, like just to hear people even bring it up, like, oh yeah, another Saints Row. It's like, shut up. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Whoa. This is Twitter up here. Okay. We gotta come strong. Horizon Forbidden West. Horizon Forbidden West, February 18th, 2022.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Delayed, but well, we knew it was delayed, so
yeah, I got no issue with them delaying a giant single-player experience. Like, delay it as much as you want.
Yeah. Extended look at Call of Duty Vanguard campaign revealed. We talked about this. It's
whatever.
It's Call of Duty, man. You know?
Well, but it's a sledgehammer Call of Duty, which is the last one they made was one of the worst, so.
It is on the Modern Warfare tech, though. There. It's not.
No, I mean, I think it looks great. It's just, yeah. I think the issue with with World War II is not the way it looked.
Yeah,
it was everything else. Like, it looked amazing.
I agree. I am just glad. The one thing I am glad is that it is using Modern Warfare tech, right? Yeah. Like, it
was totally.
Black Ops was obviously a step backward. Like, it obviously,
yeah,
was old in a mysterious way because it was technically newer than Modern Warfare.
In a mysterious way. That's what I want to be described as when I'm old.
Well, you know what I mean. Like,
if no, I do. It's good.
For some reason, the new game was the old game. You know, and you're just like,
it looked worse.
Like, why? Like, what has happened here? But yeah, it's. I do think World War II is boring. I think it looks like more Call of Duty. So cool. I think the girl's cool. They had in the trailer had like they're talking about her. I think that's a
fun. I mean, it's like we always say. Like, I'll play Call of Duty if someone's like, here, you want to play it? I'm not gonna buy it. For $60, and those games never go on sale. Like, Steam had a Call of Duty sale, and it was like, I wasn't gonna buy anything, but I looked at it, and it was like, you could get Black Ops 2 for $40. I was like, what? Black Ops 2 came out in like 2011, and it's $40 on sale. It's
they very never weird. Go on sale. Like those games,
but it's so strange for such an iterative franchise, right? Like, sports games go on sale immediately.
Yeah, Madden's worth quite nothing the same. After.
Like, yeah, I know it's not quite the same because they update rosters and everything, but like that seems weird to me. Like, why would you want to play, you know, Call of Duty Ghosts for $40 when you could get the latest one for $50? I mean, people must buy them or it wouldn't be there, but I can't imagine buying like a 2-generation-old Call of Duty game for $40. Like, who's that for?
Yeah, people love those campaigns though, man. You know, like, I don't know why, but people really like. Put a lot of stock in those 5-hour campaigns.
I mean, I like them too, but Jesus. Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, especially since the multiplayer is probably just a mess at this point, right? Like,
yeah, maybe it might actually be fun to go to an old Call of Duty's multiplayer because it probably is just like a total Wild West
just
of
cheaters insanity. Everywhere.
Yeah, probably quite a spectacle.
Yeah. Deathloop is coming out on the 14th of September.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So a couple weeks away. All right, final review. Lego Star Wars, spring. Oh,
wait, what is that about?
Spring 2022.
Did they already do all the movies?
It's the Skywalker saga extended. When I watched the trailer, it was like everything in Star Wars. It was like Luke on Dagobah. It was like Luke on Dagobah. It was Kylo Ren. It was like everything. It was Rey jumping over the speeder in the desert, like. It was weird.
God, that movie sucks so bad.
Sucks so bad.
It's so brutal. But anyway. You know,
I was talking to one of my coworkers because I mentioned I'm going to Disneyland on Monday with my messed up foot, and and my coworker mentioned that my other coworker really likes Star Wars stuff. She's like, "Do you like Star Wars?" And I'm like, "You know, I like it like
it's a complicated question."
Well, I'm like, I like it like it's a dumb thing. You know what I mean? Like. I like Star Wars. It's a goofy sci-fi fantasy movie. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's neat because they got space swords and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
And cool like, spaceships.
And cool spaceships. Like, I think that's fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But do I think they're like great films and I need more of it and I want to know the lore and the backstories and this is so impactful. It's like, no, it's they're dumb movies, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the problem with the prequels and the, I don't even know what to call the sequels.
Yeah. Sequels.
I mean, yeah, but the original movies are also sequels by that definition. You know what I mean?
True.
Is that they thought they were serious. You know what I mean? Like, it really takes this thing that was like a dumb thing and it's just like, no, this is really heavy shit. And like, you're like, man, this is not, I don't know good. If this is it, right? Like, I don't think this is, like, I think you went the wrong way with this. I think if it was just a little more self-aware, right? Like, I think it would be better, but yeah.
But this has nothing to do with Gamescom either.
I mean, Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga Extended's coming out.
That's more than mine, I guess. Yeah. My diversion.
Death Stranding Director's Cut. It's got just a bunch of new items. It's because there's a jetpack. Pretty cool. And a
yeah, package. We were talking about how, just real quick, like, kind of think it's cool that Kojima, it seems to have, you know, really put a lot of himself in his game, whether you like it or not. It's super unique and pretty serious, I think, to him at least, despite the insanity of it. So I think it's kind of cool that now they're just like, fuck it. It's just like the message has been made. Everyone's gotten, if you're going to get anything out of this game, you probably already have. So now we're just going to throw a bunch of shit in there and make it more of a playground. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool too, right? Like, you did it. You told your story. Like,
yeah,
have fun.
Now have fun. Yeah. Have fun. We don't need to be serious anymore.
Yeah. You know, what Star Wars should have done, right? It's just like,
yeah, exactly.
Have some fun. Yeah. All right, Forza, the only things I wanted to get into were Metroid Dread trailer, the second trailer came out.
It was cool. Yeah. I mean, pretty standard Metroid, but, it looked really cool. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I don't know about these, like, 2D, like, Metroid, like, in this era. I don't know, I think the Prime games were, like, better, but I don't know, we'll see. I haven't played it, you know, and I probably will, so we'll see how it is. It is look cool. Metroid stuff's so cool, right? Like,
it is. Yeah, it's got a cool vibe, and this game seems to have that vibe as well. So
yeah, and Samus is so cool, such a cool lady. And then, kind of the last game that I thought was cool was the Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. It's like a 16-bit beat 'em up. You can play as April O'Neil.
Nice.
Yeah, and she beats everyone up with a microphone, which is pretty funny. It looks cool.
It's what the media is doing to us, man. It's a statement.
It's a statement about the media and women's roles in
and also Shredder
in ninja combat, right? And
she's using her words instead of violence, you see.
But yes, I'll definitely play it. It looks cool. It looks like fun. Who cares, right? Like, it just looks like a fun dumb game. I like fun games. Like,
me too.
I feel like we live in a world where, like, fun is so detached from, like, it's such a distant thought in.
Yeah, it's very much in the backseat these days.
You know, I feel like this is like, I don't know if I feel like I talked about this on here, but I feel like that is definitely like a plague in American media right now. Like, movies, games, comics, right? Like fun is, I think,
frowned upon,
right? Like, we really are, like, leaning into these things as art, right? And I think it's really it's removing the audience from the equation in a way that I think is really detrimental, you know? And so we're not worried about fun, we're worried about kind of a creator's vision first, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that sucks a lot of the time, you know. I think it really takes away a lot of, sometimes it's great, right? Like, I think you need some of those things, right? Like, we just talked about Kojima games, and, you know, I think there are times to just lean into, like, the vision and doing something that might not be commercially popular. But I feel like it's becoming almost the majority of products at some level, you know, or at least, like, the ones we see front and center. And it's like
the most visible.
Yeah. The most visible and prominent ones. And I think we view games that are fun, or, like, even movies that are fun, as, like, lesser product, right?
Yeah, they're, like, frivolous.
Yeah.
And what's sad is there's room for both. And there, I mean, let's not be, you know, obtuse. Like, of course, there's fun games that come out. It's just, like you said, I think they're sort of sidelined or not talked about in the same way. But, again, like, I think Death Stranding is a great example of them kind of like, here's a very serious game again. Serious, I say loosely. Like, I think Kojima thinks it's very serious. And it has some interesting messages, but now they're making it fun, which I approve of. You know, it's like there's room for both. You can have both. It's not either or.
Yeah, I think the director's cut's a good example of, I mean, kind of what we talked about, right? Is like, you made your serious thing, but you know, yeah, you can still like see the fun in it, right? Like, it's not even Kojima, obviously, by this director's cut, will admit like, it's not that serious. It's just a game. Let's have some fun. Yeah. You know?
And he's always been pretty good about that. Like, Metal Gear Solid, for all its turgid, ridiculous philosophy, has always been extremely goofy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really what's killed the American comic book industry, right? Is this, like, this kind of detachment from the audience, right? Where it's just, like, everything's an artist's vision now, you know? And so, you know, everything is, like, really message heavy, and which is fine. Yeah. You know, I think it's great to tell those stories, but you know,
it just doesn't sell well.
Nah, people don't want to read it. Like, they want to read fun. Like, that's why you ever go to like Barnes and Noble or whatever and go to like the, cause that's where they sell comic books and manga, at least in the only place I go to that sells them. And kids are literally like flooded around the manga section. Right. Like, it's the only place in that entire goddamn store where there's just people everywhere. And, they're not buying comics, you know what I mean? Like, they're looking for English translations of manga because that shit's all data driven, like fan driven, like content, you know? And I don't know. I see it more and more in games and movies, and it's just like, come on, like, let's just have some fun.
It's okay to be frivolous. Like, that is okay.
It's kind of the best, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, and I know we just shit piled on Saints Row, right? But that's not good at being frivolous, right?
Like, well, yeah, just frivolity does not have any sort of correlation to
quality.
Like, quality. Yeah, like, you can be good and frivolous, or you can be very message heavy and shitty.
Yeah, we mean like Mario Kart frivolous, not like Saints Row frivolous.
Right? Yeah, I think Nintendo is a great example, actually, of frivolity and fun.
Mario nothing's heavy.
Is kind of, Mario franchise is like perfect example of that. High quality, can get a lot out of it. But it's certainly Zelda, not message heavy.
Zelda is probably their heaviest game, other than maybe Metroid, which isn't really regularly released. And you know, Zelda's still a fucking
pretty lighthearted for the most
super lighthearted. I mean, other than a few key moments, right? Yeah. Like, you still get the chickens to fucking kill everything, right? Like, you know,
you still stab Ganondorf in the fucking head once in a while, but not very often.
Not very often. But
and he is asking for it, to be fair.
Yeah, he's the worst, really.
He's like, kind of a dick.
He's kind of a dick. But yeah, that's pretty much what we saw at Gamescom. There's a bunch. There's a lot of other stuff. If you care about that stuff, feel free to look it up. There's one about cat devil worshippers that was neat, but
that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called, so I'm not even going to talk about it or look it up. But check it out. There's a lot of stuff that got announced. There's a lot going on, I guess, but.
And I think it's fair to say that, like, just because we didn't talk about something doesn't mean it sucks or isn't interesting. I just didn't know about any of it. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of cool stuff in there we missed.
Especially smaller stuff, frivolous stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
The stuff we just talked about that doesn't exist probably exists in mass, and we just
aren't even paying attention. That's what I always think of. Right? They're like, hey, you actually have to look for stuff. You can't just, like, but, and I do recognize that. I'm sure we're missing an awful lot of things because we're not really looking very hard.
Serve it to me, please.
Yeah, exactly. I'm too lazy. I'll just pretend it doesn't exist if someone doesn't put my face in it.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else you want to get into before we get out of here, Leo?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything. But as always, thanks for listening. And Tony, thanks for having me on again.
Of course. Every week, me and you. thank you guys so much for listening. Tech Yeah Podcast on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail even. Go play some games.